The sales robots have taken over, and they're decimating deals left and right, destroying them right in their tracks. On the AI for Sales podcast, our mission is to empower everyday sellers to embrace AI superpowers to build new bridges and crush quota. Dr. Joel Aban said it best in the AI for Sales book, "In sales, time kills deals. In AI for Sales, AI kills time." Join our hosts as we learn from the C-suite of the world's fastest growing companies about how you can leverage AI today to transform your sales revenue engine while being the best version of you.
Hey everybody, Chad Burmeister, and I'm your host of the AI for Sales podcast. I almost said Al for Sales because our next guest is with Alfinder, and really cool company, also from a city that I love called Irvine, California, where I met my wife. So I'm excited to dig in today with Aris Verne, who is the founder of Alfinder. And Aris, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Chad. Thanks so much.
So before we get into the amazing enablement for marketers that you deliver, I like our audience to get to know you as a person first. And so I usually get to do that by asking the question, what was your thing when you were younger, right? Did you always know you wanted to be a founder of a company, or what was your passion back in the day?
I got to get back to you with another question. How young are we talking?
Let's go 5, 6, 7, like before you really start to realize what's happening.
I wanted to be a plastic surgeon.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. My dad was a radiologist, so I always thought I was going to be a radiologist.
Well, my mom is already a dermatologist, so that's why I really had the passion. I really wanted to do it. I love biology even to this date. I'm very passionate about it, but something I guess snapped in high school, and I got into coding, and then here we go.
Wow, that's neat, because I think there's a propensity of this magnet called your parents that can pull you in a direction.
Yes.
But we have to be true to ourselves and say, what purpose did my creator put me down here for? And, quite often it's
obviously, especially with the whole, you know, doctors and everything, they do actually really push everybody around them to be get into the same, you know, it's, I guess it's like risk-free and all that, all the perks. But and I actually really love it. There was never a push. I mean, specifically plastic surgery, there was never an insight. I really loved it. I really followed a lot of other, like, insights videos and all that. But again, like in high school, I got into development, web development a little bit, and then it really hooked me. So,
wow. Well, so now obviously take me to here and now. If you're thinking plastic surgery, then you must be pretty smart, because not everybody can do that. And Certainly coding. My son's in school for coding right now at Colorado School of Mines. So he's going down the same path. And
that's,
you
got
to be pretty smart to get into those kinds of schools. So
yeah.
How did you go from high school to what you're doing now?
Okay. Interesting journey. I got to explain couple of companies before I get to Alfinder on right now. So in high school, I got into web development. I did a lot of different websites. I did freelancing, nothing crazy at the moment. At the same time, like maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago, there was not many frameworks. It was raw. I don't like, you know, coding. So it was a little bit easier to get into the industry, I want to say. Like, if you knew how to create a website, there's still a lot of demand right now, but still. I got there, I connected to a friend of mine, and he already had a platform that made apps and games from Google Play Store, not the App Store, available to anybody who were in, like, restricted areas of the world, mainly like Middle East. There's a lot of countries that these, like, you know, providers are filtered or, like, they're sanctioned or something. So we would get, like, what he was doing is that he would get the, you know, the package, the free apps and everything, and then put it on the website, and then everybody could download it on their phone, mainly Android and Windows. So I got into it with him, and I came up with a way it wasn't really AI, it was machine learning more with the IPs and everything, all the IP configurations, VPN servers and all that, to bypass the filterings. So even the end user didn't have to use a VPN to get access to this website. So we bypassed everything through that, and then we gladly sold the company for $1 million back then. Maybe nothing crazy for a tech startup, but for us, and I mean, the solution we had, maybe, I mean, the technology was novel, but the user base wasn't in the US and all that. So we, and it was a good deal at that age for us. It was pretty decent. We bootstrapped it.
We should be talking about cyber, because in today's world, I assume there'll be some big things going on with
all of the
at stake.
For sure.
I'm sure your passwords are fully protected. Like, I just bought one of these things with the two-factor. It's the YubiKey, so I haven't done that yet.
I got it. I promise you, I have OCD over passwords and all that. Okay, so we had that, and then good exit, let's say, at that age, and I really found my passion, really like paid off and everything. I got into another company. I became a CTO of a B2B platform. It was essentially like Alibaba, but for clothing industry. So distributors and retailers for clothing, they could communicate. We know clothing industry, they do a lot of white labeled stuff. You know, it's the same thing, change the brand, change the color or the style or the buttons and everything. So we created that. This guy became my friend. Unfortunately, I also passed away very young, a couple of years ago. We did that business. I was the CTO, all the tech stuff I was handling. He was based in Dubai. So, I mean, Turkey and Dubai mainly. So he had a lot of business connections. And we did it really well. We raised up to Series B. We raised, I think, $11 million in Series B. And then we sold the company later on for, I think, like 30-something million. So that was also a decent exit. Being a CTO, that was a lot of experience, you know, being in a well-funded company, seeing the team grow and everything. And I was managing the team. Now, a year and a half, 2 years later, AlFinder was really a idea. It was very risky. I'm combining my ideology on the IP, you know, addresses, the physical addresses, that the cyber side of knowledge with the AI and, let's say, the normal development, web development coding that I have to come up with a solution that we don't need to purchase any user data necessarily. We gather the data, again, quote unquote, bypassing the conventional way of gathering data using those my previous experiences. And through that, we are able to provide any type of business, mainly B2C e-commerce businesses, with the best marketing strategy and the best audiences they can get in front of.
Got it. Wow. So most of the time, you have to spend a lot of money to actually get to that kind of behavior, the buyer behavior. And you're saying you're able to do it in an unstructured sort of way, provide the customer with the intelligence that they would like to have, but would normally have to do it in a much more complicated way.
Exactly. I mean, if we want to go the conventional way of like going to a marketing agency and like, hey, this is my company, I want to do this. What they do essentially is they have softwares that the softwares have a lot of data on social, on different industries. They only look at patterns. They say, okay, on Tuesday, 10 a.m. for this industry is the best time to post on Instagram. Because they've looked at all, I mean, people post on every single second. So they look at, they see the best returns, and they say, okay, based on the patterns, this is best. But statistically looking, that couldn't be far away from the best market or the best outcome that you could possibly get. This is a great example that I always give. What we do is let's say you have a bookshelf, okay? Aside from looking at the bookshelf and say, okay, you have 10 books, so based on these books, you probably like these type of genres. Maybe you're actually experimenting with reading and you actually hate 9 out of 10 books. So it's not a good way of evaluating, let's say, because A lot of people post on that time, or they take these routes for big for clothing industries. It doesn't mean it's the best thing. It only means that it was proven once and everybody only follows them. We analyze the behaviors of the end user, see exactly what they like. And that's, I mean, at that point, it's a no-brainer to connect, like, this people is going to like this brand or this product, or they're more into this type of spending.
Got it. One-to-one analysis versus a group, right? Oh, look, exactly. They're all trading on the corner. That doesn't mean much. Yeah. We're going to tell you which are exactly.
It's more on a behavioral analysis as opposed to only pattern recognition.
Got it. So think about, where does artificial intelligence play a role in the technology you're talking about? Does the company even exist if AI doesn't exist?
Definitely not. But in terms of the future of AI, I want to say one thing. We are getting more and more into self-sufficient AI, such that it's only a software in front of you. You tell it, this is my situation, and it tells you what to do. No matter the industry, no matter the type of technology, we are getting more and more. To this stage, we were getting help from AI. So you would do your own research. You would compare it with the AI because they have access to a lot of data. And then you would still, you were able to have your inputs, affect the outcome. We are getting more and more into a self-sufficient AI era where, like, our input is going to make the outcome, if not completely incorrect, make it biased. So we got to trust the AI. Why? Because we got to trust the math behind it, technically. The discoveries in the AI and the algorithms behind every single type of AI, or the agents, let's say, as we call them, is so accurate that we gotta believe that's objectively looking exactly what's going to happen.
Wow, I can agree with you, because I think of augmentation in certain kinds of AI, right? We're still in the augmentation phase.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of areas where, think about a chatbot. The early chatbot required 10 people to sit there and respond. Well, the newer chatbots say, whoa, every time I flew to the Manila of the Philippines to teach people, and then I'd leave and 6 weeks later, it was completely changed and rewritten. And I'm like, true. That's not what we built. Whereas that's with right. AI, you can go in as the power user and say, okay, if you ask this question, here's the answer. I don't want you to stray from the answer to that particular question.
That's right.
And so when we get to this point, it's pretty neat. I mean, we branded the name of the company because of what we're seeing and what you just talked about. From scale X, like scale with the power of AI, scale to the power of AI, to X human. And it stands for exponentially human. Right? It can actually
That's very noble.
Wow, really neat. So I love talking to people who say, yeah, we don't exist without it, or we'd have a team of 100 people that are...
Well, I have a very funny example. I was having an argument with a sales rep, and I got into a fight with him, and he was trashing me. And I, at the end of the day, I told him, hey, it's not 1999. Reps are redundant. It was a bit of an insult, but that's where we're headed to. Like, having a sales rep, or having somebody like in the agencies in our industry, they call them marketing strategists. All they do is they and they're not educated on AI or data or statistics. They only look at these softwares. They do their own research. And I've seen so many different biased answers. That's why there are so many of them out there, and so many different strategies they try, let's say. And at the end, all they do is configure something on Facebook ads platform or Google ads platform until they get the best result. If not, use their own recommended, solutions or approaches.
And they may never get the best result, right?
Because no, they may never do. Yeah.
Wow. I love it, because it's controversial and yet it's truth. It's just where the industry's headed. You can't fake it. There's so many different variations and permutations. A computer can handle the math. A brain can't.
Yeah, at this point, I think it's a no-brainer that AI can do it. And we see a little bit more, easier. We see less of a guard from the society to have something done with AI, whether it's your job or you're on the receiving end. But to see, okay, I'm getting this product because AI decided that I get it. And people are fine with it.
Yeah, that's right. Tell me about the future. So when you're talking about market analysis and enabling the marketing experts to get market analysis without the use of user data, like that's a pretty bold statement. Do you have a case study or example of a situation that you rolled out?
Okay, this is a good thing. So by Monday, I would definitely invite you and everybody else to go on the website. Not right now. We've rebranded everything to a reimagined marketing with a click of a button. So how it works is that whether you're an agency as a company or you're a single, small business, doesn't matter. How it works and how we are presenting these technologies that through a web platform, web app, you input the information of the company, the industry, the budgets, the, let's say that whatever you've done so far on the marketing, or if you haven't done anything, how much you're spending and so on and so forth, the channels you have, and it comes back depending on your goals, whether you want to increase interactions or following, or you want to increase revenue or sales straight up. It comes back with a couple of different main elements of how to divide up your budget between different marketing channels, which channels to focus on, what type of content to go after, and most importantly, who is your audience? It gives you a very great persona of your best audience and the markets that you have to go after. So it almost removes the market agency effect that every brand thinks they have to go because, and mainly one of the biggest reasons is that they don't know how to operate the Facebook ads platform. It's not that they don't know how to research necessarily, and this would remove everything. Down the line, we have in mind implementing those. So with a click of a button, you have the three different options, three different strategies, as we call them. And then with a click of a button, you can launch a campaign on your Facebook ads. And this is true even if you're an agency. You can have different clients and do the research. You don't need all the other softwares. It gives you different options as strategies. And then you can go through them and see your client's goals and then select one or even compare and see what happens.
Wow. Yeah. And it's going... I think of sales and I think of 20 years ago when I was early in my sales career and I was always my deal size would be bigger than other people's. Well, there's one other person on the floor out of maybe 30 or 40 people who also came in at the same level, size.
Right.
And there's probably other people in the world who would have doubled the size or tripled it, right? Because we weren't at the optimal level. Now, the rest of the folks, we could go in, me and this guy, Jim, we would maybe sell a $25,000 deal. We maximize the value.
Right.
Someone else for the same exact deal could go sell a $75 a month product, so $900 instead of $25,000. Yeah. That's what we're talking about here, is that there's, and not just let's go 25 versus 900. This type of technology also lets you go, no, there could be a $72,000.
Well, here's the thing. There's about 70% increase in new brands being created every year. Most of them are one, two, or up to three people in management size. These are small, branded products. There's no novelty in the product itself, but they're creating it. They're small businesses, side hustles, whatever, and they die because almost two-thirds of them or two-thirds of all small businesses at each point, they're thinking of expansion and they don't know how to do it or they don't have the resources. They have to do more marketing or they have to spend more on packaging or branding, which they don't have the budget or they don't exactly know. I mean, not having the budget is on one side. Not having the budget to experiment is on the other side, because most marketing routes start with A/B testing. You have to have the budget to at least test different routes and then find one and then capitalize on that, like strategy or route. That's one thing. Another thing is that we better believe AI talks to AI on better terms, as opposed to humans to AIs, right? The decision makers on the top, the ones who are deciding what I see on each platform or what I buy, is decided based on AI, whether it's a recommendation engine or similars, or, hey, like, you saw this, so maybe you like that. So it's better to, you know, have the businesses also get shown where the AI is going, the bigger AIs, let's say, you know, the bigger bots out there.
Yeah, that makes me think of a whole new industry of software for the buyer, and AI communications. That's a very uncharted territory for
quote unquote. Let's make it controversial. Decentralized business processes. You know, everything, like, you want to run a business, a couple of softwares, no ties to anyone, whether it's marketing, whether it's packaging, whether it's like product development, especially if it's non-tangible products. And through a couple of clicks of a button, hey, this is what I want to do. And you get so many different accurate suggestions of how to do it. You just have to take action.
Yeah. Well, that leads to the last question, and that is, what impact does AI have on the sales professional? Most people say, hey, the bottom minutia tasks will be outsourced to AI, but it will lead to the need for more sale. You know, it'll just be a different kind of a job. You've shared a little bit deeper thinking than that. What are your thoughts on what impact does it have on sales professional?
I think generally speaking, we are going to get more prone to understanding AI. It's going to become like understanding how to work on a cell phone. At some point, it was a learning curve for all of us, or for the, you know, all the societies. Now it's trivial. Even if you haven't had a phone, you get one, or get a new type of phone, there's not much to it. Or you get a new, like, gaming console, or have a new game, like, you know how to get started. At some point, that wasn't that trivial. It's the same with AI. I think the more and more we see these self-sufficient AIs integrated, whether into our lives or into different softwares that we weren't used to, we just have to adapt. It's not that we lose that kind of person, or we have to, you know, change jobs or something. As long as you adapt, at some point, at least for right now, hopefully, the action taker is a human.
Wow. So well put. I'm preparing for remarks on Monday at a conference in Arizona, at a B2B conference for marketing. And we did some analysis of a handful of customers. With LinkedIn outreach, we're seeing 20 to 40% connection rate and a 41% reply rate on some of the campaigns.
Wow. And that's very good.
Right. So we're going to expose this. Generally, salespeople have figured this hack out for the last 5 years. It hasn't been exposed to the marketers of the world. When you do, and you say, hey, how would you like to have a LinkedIn outreach that's highly specific, 100 messages a day to exactly the right buyer at a 41% response rate, you've got to learn what not to do, because a lot of times marketers tend to go in and dump a lot of product features.
Absolutely.
And things. But when you use AI to help build the message, to source the list, and then make it human to human feel for the buyer, game over. So
yeah, exactly. That's like, you know, that's a slam dunk of the whole process.
That's right. Wow. Really super conversation. If people want to get a hold of you after hearing the show today, Aris, alfinder.com. And what if they want to reach out to you?
You can have my email, Twitter, also open, Aris Ver. Email is my last name, first letter of my first name, at alfinder.com. So Vern, with two E's at the end, at alfinder.com.
Outstanding. Thanks for sharing such amazing perspectives. I talked to over 150 people, and I have to say, your thinking is advanced compared to a lot of the folks I've talked to. So incredible.
Great. Thanks
everybody. Thanks for joining another AI for Sales podcast. We'll catch you next time.
Hey, you made it this far in your AI for Sales journey. Want to augment your sales growth? First, leave us a review and then visit www.scalex.ai to claim your free strategy session today.